an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Welcome to Life Changes Indeed, and life is changing even as we speak, and so I'm glad we're talking about this together today. It's a subject I love dearly and something I talk about all the time. As a matter of fact, I was talking about it with my mother today. But before I get into that, I want to let you know that we have in the studio today Greg Larson. And Greg Larson is an author and a spiritual life coach and founder of Happy as Humanly Possible. He's a professional life coach and, it's a professional life coach and seminar company. He's also a singer, a songwriter, an inspirational speaker, and the co-host of Living with Tolle, as in Eckhart Tolle, which is a number one podcast on iTunes with listeners from over 100 countries. So I'm excited that he's our guest on the show tonight. He's a really hard person to pin down because he's all over the place and works very hard, so we have him here today. And it's interesting, he's also going to talk about relationships with our fathers. And as I was saying, I was talking to my mother this morning. My father has since passed as of 9 years ago or so. And it's interesting how I have come to learn so much about so many things. I mean, where does one start? But every once in a while I learn something and I think, wow, this is something that my father was trying to teach me, or my mother was trying to teach me, or this is something that they weren't successful in teaching me, or they didn't know how to teach me, or they didn't know about it themselves. And so I'm learning so much about relationships with our parents as well, especially as I get to see some of my friends and brothers and sisters with their children. I don't have children of my own, but I look at them and I see how they relate, and I have a growing appreciation for parenthood. And my mother said something today over the phone to the effect of, you know, maybe we made a mistake with such and such or such and such. And, I stopped her right there, and I said, Mom, let me tell you a story, because this will make you feel good. And so I told her a story of when I bought my first juicer. Now, I bought the juicer, and I'd never had a juicer before, and I'd never seen one used before, and I was living on my own, and I couldn't wait to use it, and I had some fresh oranges in the house. And I started reading the book that came with the juicer that said all kinds of things, and it said that the aperture of the juicer was big enough and made so that it could fit a whole fruit. And the reason for that is because the skin or peel of the fruit is where most of the nutrients are, most of the vitamins and minerals are, and that the inside of the fruit is just where all the sugar mainly is. And then, of course, it holds the seed inside the sugar portion. So it said... you can stick a whole fruit in there, and should, especially if you buy it organically and you wash it well, etc. Go ahead and stick the whole fruit in there. So as soon as I read that, I had read enough, and I couldn't wait to have my first juice out of my brand new juicer. And so I went and washed the oranges well and stuck them in the juicer with the peel and all. And when the juice was ready, my mouth was watering. I couldn't wait, although it smelled a little strong, I have to admit. And I started to drink the juice. I take that back. I took one sip of the juice, and I nearly spit it out. I thought, oh, this is so bad. It was so strong, and it tasted toxic. It really did. And so I was deciding whether I should drink more of it, and I thought, these are organic oranges. They weren't cheap. and I put all of them in there, like 7 or 8 of them, and I know this is good for me. The book told me so, so I have to drink it. And whether I like it or not, I mean, maybe it's the taste I'm not used to. Maybe it's something that, you know, this is how nutrients and minerals taste, and I've been so depleted. So I'm eating this, and I'm cringing while I'm doing it. And my stomach starts to get upset. I mean, I start getting an upset stomach. It didn't start yelling at me. But it starts, for all intents and purposes, it was yelling at me. It just did not feel good. And I proceeded to drink that whole big glass of juice, orange juice, with the peel and all. And when I was good and full and good and sick, I might add, I sat down and picked up the book that I was reading about the juicer and literally turned the page. This is a true story. Literally turned the page, and the sentence continued. All fruits except oranges and bananas. Oranges because they have alcohol in the peel, and the spirit is not good for your body. As a matter of fact, they actually make pyrotechnics out of that spirit on the peel of the oranges that I just juiced 8 of and drank. And now my stomach was upset, and I felt like vomiting. And I had to laugh. And I had to think of what would have happened if I had children. And I said to my mother, I'll tell you what would have happened if I had children. I would have told my children to drink this juice, that I paid a lot of money for it, and it's good for them, and they better be grateful for the fact that I was giving them good organic juice with the peel, because it's good for you, the book said so. And if you don't drink it, I'm not going to let you have whatever else we're going to be eating today. And I know my children would have said, but Dad, it tastes terrible. It's making me sick. I feel like throwing up. And I would have said, stop being a baby and drink it. I just know it, at least back then. And so I said to my parents, or my mom, regarding my parents, I said, I know. In my parents' case, at least, that everything they fed me that I did not like, and that I later found out was not good for me health-wise. And I revolted, but I would be sent to my room, or I couldn't have anything else until I ate that. It was done out of love. Like, for instance, dairy. I am very lactose intolerant. I had problems all my life because of dairy. I eventually acquired a taste for it, and even though and a way of eating it that still gave me problems, but I had a taste for it. But as a child, I used to cry, I used to vomit, and as I grew up, I used to revolt and be sent to my room because I wouldn't drink my milk. And my dad used to buy the best milk he could find and actually had the local Italian grocery store order the highest quality milk for his children. So he wasn't doing it to hurt me. He was just feeding me orange peels because he hadn't read the rest of the book. Or the book, or he hadn't turned the page, or the book hadn't been written yet. So I look back at instances like that. And yes, my parents made a lot of instances like that. But it was done out of love. And hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm pretty healthy. And I know I would have made the same quote-unquote mistake, but it would have been made out of love. And I hope and trust that my children would someday grow up, and if they found out that I had made a mistake, like feeding them or making them drink orange peels, that they would grow up to understand that their dad hadn't read the rest of the book yet. And that was their learning that they could maybe someday teach me, or they can go on and teach their children or other people. So here I am sharing this story with my mother. And as I got into our guest and learning more about him, I knew about him as a life coach and as a as a speaker, but I didn't know that he had completed a book yet called Better Friends, and it's all about having a better relationship with one's father. So, coincidence? I don't think so. So before we bring him on, I want to let everybody know that you're watching and listening to Life Changes with Filippo. You can learn more about us at lifechanges.ws. We're here every Monday night, or actually 24/7 on our website and on YouTube, but we originate on the BBS radio network. And with that, let me tell you a little bit about our guest. Our guest is in studio today happily. He is an author, a spiritual life coach, a spiritual teacher, and co-host of Living with Tolle, as in Eckhart Tolle, which is a number one podcast on iTunes, with an audience of over 100 countries, or people from over 100 countries. He is passionate about the teachings of Eckhart Tolle and supporting people with their spiritual awakening by deepening their experience of Tolle's teachings. Now, it's interesting. He goes much deeper than that. Of course, he's a father himself, and he has a father. And so it's interesting how he started developing certain things and using other pieces of his craft, like he's a singer, songwriter, and, of course, an inspirational speaker. So he brought these all together and created this song with a friend. And the next thing you know, he's healing his relationship with his father, but so many other relationships are healing. So if all works well, we'll get to play you that song that we're talking about, and you'll learn more about your book. Did you bring your book? It's in there, actually. If you don't mind getting that, I'll tell you a little bit more about him while he's doing that. After experiencing the profound highs of a spiritual awakening in 1992 and the abysmal lows of a divorce in 1999, an introduction to the teachings of Eckhart Tolle in 2000 facilitated a healing and integration of these two life-changing events. And since 2003, Greg has led hundreds of groups, meetings, and presented talks on the teachings of Eckhart Tolle across the U.S., facilitating a high experiential and interactive presentation. So with that, I'd like to introduce to you all our guest for this evening, Greg Larson.
Hello.
Greg, welcome.
Thank you so much, yes.
It's going very well, and it's very exciting. And you know what? Let's start right here with this. The duality that you were experiencing from the spiritual awakening, I think it was in India, right?
That's right, in India, yeah.
In India, and then the abysmal divorce, which I think was here in the United States,
that,
right?
That was right, yeah.
Okay, so two worlds, two different aspects of your life, and somehow you brought it all together. Where do we start with that?
Wow, that is a powerful one. You know what? I was really young when I had this awakening in India. I was in college, and I was spending the year abroad in England studying, and I had this spring break, and I went to India, and I actually had kind of an intuitive sense that I was being called to go there on a spiritual quest. I wasn't that spiritual at the time, but it was what was speaking to me, so I went on this journey and had this really, it wasn't amazing, it wasn't like I found this amazing temple and was surrounded by all these gurus and robes and anything like that. It was just, I landed in this village, you know, and everyone, you know, it was very simple, and it was no ornate temple or anything like that. It was just, I was hanging out in the veranda of this one guy, and he happened to be a teacher in a sense, or a guru you could say, but he wasn't, you know, a priest or anything like that. Just through this simple interaction and being in India, eating simple meals, really slowing down.
Mm.
It was the hottest month of the year in May, and so every afternoon we were sleeping on the veranda, and just very slow and still, and also absorbing this wisdom, not only, you know, hearing it, but feeling it. To me anyways, India was a very transformative space. Like the country, the vibration, the ancient wisdom of this country was, you know, in the rocks, was in the food, and I was, you know, transformed by that in a sense. Had this, you know, profound awakening experience, not really understanding it, but feeling it, mm-hmm. sensing it, sensing this, really this connection with the universe, people, nature, all of that. So having that, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to live this joyful, blissed out, you know, experience the rest of my life. And then after college, falling in love and having that experience happen, and it didn't quite work out for various reasons. And then one thing I wasn't anticipating was my egoic attachment to this person, how my identity was wrapped up with them. And so when she chose not to be, you know, with me any longer, that was really crushing to my ego. And so I'm using this language now, I didn't understand at the time. And so when I was in this despair and in this deep suffering, really, it was, it came to the point where I was like, this is not, I'm not able to function with this. Not only was I mentally, you know, wrapped up in living in the past, but those thoughts really had depressed my body. One day I could not get out of bed, and it was very apparent to me, it was my thoughts about my divorce or my ex-wife, this whole process. And so I awakened to this realization that I need to heal. I need to find a way to heal. And shortly after that, someone said, you should read The Power Now by Eckhart Tolle. It's really transformative. So I got the book and through his teachings understood how the ego operates and how we have this emotional residue, which he calls the pain body. To me, a very powerful concept in the book. And so I began this process of healing from that. And not only from that, from other things that I felt were, I was triggered by in life. One happened to be my father.
Interesting. Oh, what a segue. Sure, let's go right to that. From divorce to father. All right.
Yeah, so, you know, I was in Nashville and writing songs at the time. And as I came across this teaching, I started looking at my life. Where were these other places where I felt this, where my pain body was being activated? And, of course, with the divorce of my ex-wife, but also with my father. And I don't know if there was anything, you know, there was a few specific instances that came to mind, but it wasn't, you know, a ton of stuff. He was a very loving man. And I heard you, you know, earlier describing, you know, your relationship with your parents. It wasn't like he... You know,
he didn't feed you juice with
not specifically.
With orange rind.
That may be a metaphor for different experiences that happened, but I don't think it was done out of like, oh, I know the orange peelings have spirits, and I'm going to feed them to my kids to see how they, you know, twist right. on the couch. It's like, you know, he was just doing what he thought was best and right. in a very loving way. Unfortunately, because I was unconscious, I interpreted those as very embarrassing.
You were also a child.
Yeah, and young and not able to understand it. Yeah, so a lot of shame, embarrassment because of my father. And, of course, that turns into resentment if we don't bring our conscious awareness into that. So that resentment was there. And so even though I was living in Nashville and he was in Minnesota where I was born and raised, so we didn't spend much time together, but whenever I was with him back in Minnesota, it was like he triggered me. It was irritating to be around him. It was uncomfortable to be around him. And so when I discovered, you know, this process or these insights that Eckhart Tolle offers, I became very aware, like, wow, my father's a trigger. And ultimately, I want to be close with my father. I want to feel the love of my father, and I want to be able to love him. So I began, you know, bringing my awareness into our relationship and as much as possible, you know, healing from that. You could say forgiving him. And ultimately, as I've learned through the teachings of Eckhart Tolle, the most important step you can take is to become present. Because it's our thoughts about the past which, you know, create those we relive that resentment, you relive that shame, you relive that anger. And if you can grow in presence power, as Eckhart Tolle calls it, and learn to live in the moment, that diminishes. So I was doing that and generating awareness of my father, and just happened to connect with this songwriter, this really an artist. She's a songwriter also, and she was working on her album, so we wrote this song. The story is more about the relationship she had with her father, but after, you know, writing this song, it was very, you know, apparent to me that I had similar feelings with my father, even though the situations were different. You know, it meant a lot to me too, and of course, whenever I wrote a song, I always played it for my parents, so I'm up in Minnesota, and I'm playing them my latest and greatest, and I get to this one, of course, you know, holding back the tears, and, you know, singing it, and, you know, very powerful experience. We're Norwegian, I don't know if you could tell that in the features here, but so when I finish the song, take a deep breath, and I look up, and my parents are sitting at the kitchen table, and my mom goes, very nice song. my dad didn't say anything at all, and it was just a moment of silence, and I just went into playing the next song, and that was kind of it. We never talked about it, nothing, you know, we didn't reflect on it, we didn't, you know, reminisce about the past and what those feelings might have been for me. But a few months later, my dad gives me a call, and we're chatting, and he's like, well, I think I'm going to come down and visit you in Nashville. I was like, well, great, when are you and Mom coming down? He was like, no, I think I'm just going to come and visit you by myself. I was
really?
Like, wow, that's never happened before. That was, so I, you know, made space for that, and he came down. He loves, you know, adventure and, you know, traveling, so he came down. We had a long weekend to explore. We hung out with my friends. We went and listened to live music and caught a Minnesota Vikings and Green Bay Packers football game, and at the end of the weekend, we were better friends.
Wow. Better friends.
We were better friends,
that
yeah.
That sounds like a song.
And that happened to be the name of the song that I played for them, yeah. So that's, you know, the song is called Better Friends, and it's from the singer's perspective, sharing with their father, you know, this desire to be better friends and to get over the blame and to move beyond the regrets and to, you know, work together to create a friendship, really, a space where you can be better friends. And so that's what we did. We, you know, through me singing it and then him initiating this big first step, you know, and that me personally growing in presence power, growing, you know, consciously, you know, now we're able to hang out. And even though he may say the same things and his, you know, his quirks may be the same, what used to create that response, I can be with him now, you know, offering that space, offering that love. So he can be who he is, and that's not good or bad or right or wrong, it's just who he is, and I show up in a way now that's not, you know, unconscious or triggered or agitated by that. I'm just there for him, loving and receptive, and I can feel his love, and we can say, I love you at the end of our conversations now on the phone.
Really?
And give very warm hugs.
Something
we didn't do that before, no, and I still make it a point at the end. Sometimes it doesn't come out, you know, from on his head, but I always say, Dad, I love you, and then, you know, a lot of times just say, pal, I love you too. And it's real special to hear that.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've had this experience, and so I share that story in the book, and then I also share at the second half of the book kind of tips and ways you can approach your father. And,
I was going to ask you about that because I haven't had a chance to see the book yet. I see that it's here now. But for those people who don't have a song, ironically, my father and I connected with music as well.
Uh-huh.
So we could talk for hours on
that.
But for those people who don't have a song that they can sit down and play that for their father or their mother,
sure.
What are some of the tips that you suggest for those people?
Sure. Well, you know, ultimately it's not about, at first changing who they are. It's more about approaching it from this understanding that they are human beings and they were children at one time too, and they, society and their family, you know, all were doing things that, you know, hurt them, that created those same experiences with them. So it's not like they intentionally, as parents, set out to hurt you or to shame you. It's that they're a product of their conditioning, of their culture, of their society. So ultimately, you have to be able to just, you know, accept or offer that acceptance that this is who they are, and they're a human being on their own journey. They happen to be your parents,
right,
which is a very dynamic relationship, but they're ultimately just a human being on their own journey. And we have to be able to step back in that broader perspective and view them in that way and offer them that space to be a human being who makes mistakes, who isn't perfect, who is born into a family dynamic and a society that, you know, wasn't, where teachings about, you know, being present in the moment and,
right,
and some of these things that are available to us nowadays, right, and weren't available to them. So it's not like they set out, you know, when they were 6 months old, okay, when I grow up, I'm going to be a parent and I'm going to, you know, that wasn't their intention. They just came about in a certain way. And so we had to, in order to be at peace with their parents, we have to, whether they're alive or dead or whether you knew your birth father or not, you had to, you know, honor this human experience and make space for that so they can be allowed to, you know, to be who they are, and all the ways that they are, and through the journey that they're on, which is their journey, and it's separate from yours, even though you have this connection, but at least offering them that space and that acknowledgement, really, that they're a human being.
Wow, that's helpful. You know, it's interesting how it would be different if I were a father, I'm sure, but even though I'm not, I'm very observant. So between my family and my friends who have children, I look and see and try and live the experience vicariously through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice how at least the people around me who are so conscientious of their children, mm-hmm. and are trying to do the best they can and really trying to give them the most they can and trying to make right all the wrongs that they had as children and trying to pass on all these wonderful things. And sometimes they err.
Yes.
And so when I have noticed these beautiful people doing their best, I say to them, your children are very blessed to have all that you are doing for them, all that you care for them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a mistake, think of it as part of their karma, because mm-hmm. it's yeah. part of their learning, because you just didn't know that. So sometimes parents carry this right. themselves, and that doesn't make for a good relationship, especially when kids throw it in their face later on. Right. And that's another side of it.
Without doubt at all, that's there too. There's, you know, again, going back to the teachings of Eckhart Tolle and understanding how as we, you know, come about in this world, we're not offered these, you know, a teaching or a way of approaching life where, you know, we can see that ultimately a lot of the stuff we do isn't from our intention, but from our conditioning.
Mm.
And so, you know, and if you're not aware of that, you'll act from your conditioning in a way that's hurtful, and you'll take responsibility, or you'll hold on to that. You'll say that, oh, I did that. I was, you know, I'm not loving. I'm not worthy, whatever those words may be, without understanding that ultimately there's a layer of conditioning there that really that you could say it almost like it's acting through you. And so to be able to, you know, have that awareness so that whatever is coming through, a reaction or a response that isn't loving, that isn't caring, to be able, because I experienced this too, I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so
right.
I'm in this right now, this dynamic, and even though I'm very conscious and very present, the 3- and 5-year-old have certain ways of, you know, triggering a reaction, which isn't that way.
Right.
And so when that comes up, because we're teaching each other now, we're all very aware. My kids will say, because the term in our house, instead of saying, you know, let's be present, is let's be calm.
Yeah.
So even my 3-year-old say, Dad, let's be calm. Calm down. I'm like, you're right, you're right. I'm very sorry. And we hug each other and we get together. So those things happen, but none of us allow those to have a life of their own in our minds, where we're dwelling, oh my God, I can't believe I did that to my kids. I'm not, you know, lost in that, because I understand it. It's coming not from who I am as love. It's coming from this conditioning of growing up in a culture, mm. in a society, in a family. And so it's just kind of part of who I am as I'm on my journey of releasing that. But it's still there. And if it comes through in a way, that's okay. My kids are okay with that. I'm okay
with
that.
They're going to be all right.
It's all, yeah.
It's going to be good.
That's right, that's right.
You know, it's interesting that as a child, I used to judge parents a lot, especially mine. And I used to walk through a store or what have you, and as a young adult as well,
sure.
maybe even older, and I used to see parents, like, ignoring their children or something, and I'd say, boy, those are horrible parents. I would never do that if I were a parent. Well, I'm still not a parent, but recently I was at a party, and I was holding my friend's 11-month-old.
Oh.
And I was holding this child, and we were laughing and playing together, and he was just having a great time, and for an hour we just were engaged with each other, and it was great, and everybody walked by and said, wow, you'd make a great father, Filippo.
Uh-huh.
And I said, for an hour.
Exactly.
Because about an hour, I was done.
Uh-huh.
I was so done.
That's a lot of energy. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot of energy. Yeah. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that literally 24/7, 365 yeah. days a year. And so at some point, my child would try and get my attention and try and get me to make him laugh, and I'd say no.
Can't do it right now. Ultimately, yeah, exactly.
So all of a sudden, then I would be a bad parent, I am sure.
Well, that's the whole thing. Again, I think the term that comes for me is, you know, this is the human experience, and it's not perfect. It's not about getting it right. It's about being on that journey. Now, a family can approach it that way. And we're all learning this together. We're all, you know, things are going to happen that we don't wish for, or that might be hurtful. But, you know, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? You know, what I want is to feel love and to love you, and to not have anything get in the way of that. And even though I don't have that type of conversation with my kids, ultimately we're having those conversations. They know that. Because as soon as something happens that isn't loving, or that creates, pain or frustration, we stop and we address that. We make space for that. And so in a very, you know, quick way, those feelings are acknowledged and we calm down and we get back to that space of loving and hugging and wrestling and laughing, and the kids recover very quickly and they don't hold on to stuff, you know, at least not yet. They're very willing to love and to receive love and to, you know, let's get back out and having fun. Let's get back in, you know, playing and being creative, and let's get the paints out, or let's get the blocks out, or let's do, you know, whatever that is they want to do. So
that's great. Well, I know I have the pleasure of knowing your wife as well, and I know that she's aligned with that. So the two of you must do an amazing job with the children. So they won't need a song like Better Friends when they're older.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, people do, and so this is a good time to let everybody hear some of the song.
That'd be wonderful.
Let's hear Better Friends, and before we do that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Filippo on Life Changes with Filippo, and you can learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws, and our guest today is Greg Larson, and this is his song. He's singing, and he co-wrote it, Better Friends, How to Be at Peace with Your Dad and Create the Friendship You Really Want.
I used to blame you for every missing piece in my life. The day you moved away, I didn't really know the reason why. When you're 10 years old, it's hard to understand. Leaving me wasn't something you had planned. I know you're not perfect. Don't you see? I don't need perfect. I just want you and me to be better friends. I know you love me, even though it's hard for you to say. You wish you had been there to see me on my graduation day. Well, all these old regrets tell me what they're worth. We're like strangers, and that's what really hurts. I know you're not perfect. Don't you see? I don't need perfect. I just want you and me to be better friends. Nothing's gonna change what happened in the past. There's no hard feelings, I hope you know, Dad.
Singing his song that he co-wrote called Better Friends. Wow, that says it all, doesn't it?
It's, you know, I'm proud to say it's a very well-written song. It's very, you know, it gets right to the point of, again, sharing that, you know, there used to be this blame and that, you know, and for certain reasons, but ultimately, you know, I know you're not perfect. Don't you see? I don't need perfect. I just want to be better friends.
Mm.
And so then it goes in the second verse talking about all these things. And, okay, it didn't happen, but let's not regret this. Let's, you know, there is still, there's still love we can share. There's still an experience we can have now. And so really, you know, letting go of that, forgiving that, however you want to, you know, term that. And then, you know, creating this friendship that you really want.
That's beautiful. Let's tell people where they can get that song.
Yeah, well, you can download that at happyishumanlypossible.com, which is my website. And you can also see the video on YouTube. If you type in Better Friends and Greg Larson, it'll come up. And then my other website, livingwithtolly.com, we also have it on there, so you can watch the video there, too. So.
Right, we're going to touch on that now, actually. And the book is also on website, or will be.
There will be shortly. Yeah, you'll be able to get that on the Happiest Humanly Possible website. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so another aspect of you is the whole Tolle thing, of course, which we've touched on.
Yeah.
But, geez, I mean, I got a lump in my throat listening to this song. I'm thinking, what would that have been like to sing to my dad? I don't think I would have been able to do it. Did you cry?
You know what? It was, I was crying, yes, except when I was going to say something to kind of set up the song, and I couldn't do it. It was like no words came out of my mouth, and so I just put my head down, closed my eyes, and I started playing the chords, and I, as I wrote in the book, I kind of just let the song, you know, I just wanted to communicate.
It's already there.
Yeah, I just wanted to communicate every word, and so I did my best not to let my choking up do that, so I just kind of allowed the song to flow out. As much as I could in the very deep emotion that was present there also.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that song with us. So in the moments that we have left, I want to know how to be happy as humanly possible.
Yes.
And you're going to help me find the keys to true happiness and live my best life.
That's right.
So we have a minute. So how do we do that? No, I'm just kidding.
It's very simple. Very simple. Yes.
It probably is.
It is. You know, and even I was going to share that psychologists are discovering this now. And basically what they're able to determine is that, you know, happiness is living a happy life boils down to basically two things. It's, although they don't put it in this order, but I'm going to say it's in this order. The first one is you have to learn how to live in the moment. And that's where I, you know, lean on Eckhart Tolle. I think his teachings are very powerful in revealing to us not only how to do that, how that's really our potential as human beings, but ultimately what keeps us and what blocks us from having that. And as he says, the most important thing is that our thoughts, you know, our thoughts become charged with energy. They become charged in such a way that they're constantly churning in our head. And as they do that and draw energy out of our own life force, really, they can really go on a rampage and really, if you're not conscious, you can be thinking all the time and not thinking the most pleasant thoughts.
And creating those not so pleasant
thoughts. That's right, that's right. And then that would manifest in our experience, yeah. So ultimately, learning through whether it's Eckhart Tolle's teachings or the vast other teachings that are out there, how to live in the moment, then the second part of that is to have goals and a vision in life that's inspiring. You know, have projects that, you know, that are, you feel have great value, have, you know, contribute. And if it, you know, hopefully that's with your job or your career, and if it's not there, outside of your work and career, you know, be involved in your community, be involved in a way where you're contributing, you're giving, in a way that has deep meaning and purpose for you.
Mm.
So those are the two things, you know, learn how to live in the moment and appreciate what you have, be grateful for what you have, you know, learn, you know, to sense what's of the love that's there right now. Who you are and what you are. Yeah, all of that, yeah. And then the other part is to have, you know, a vision for your life and have goals that are fulfilling, that are satisfying, that, you know, inspire you. And that is kind of the formula, very basic, you know, formula for living a happy life, for being happy as humanly possible.
Now, I wonder if you kind of touched on that with that answer, but in my mind I had this question because I heard you say once, don't ask what I can do in life, but what life is calling me to do, something like that?
This is something I pick up from Eckhart Tolle, and it's, you know, it's ultimately comes down to, you know, being a little upset and, God, no, I want more from life. You know, life should be, you know, I should have a, you know, a better hand, or, you know, taking it from that approach. But ultimately, you know, asking how life is calling you to serve. And depending on what your perspective is, if you're a Christian, you could say, you know, how is God calling you to serve? But, you know, just to keep it more broad in the sense in the human approach, just how is life calling me to serve? And by asking that question, by tuning in, you'll get those senses. Wow, I can go volunteer, or I can, you know, what I'm really being called to do is not to work in my job as this or that, but I'm being called to serve people as a therapist or as a life coach or as a, you know, in a way where I'm contributing, where I'm giving value and I'm feeling very rewarded and satisfied.
So it doesn't have to be volunteerism or to go off to Africa or something and give your life in a mission or something. It could be the very job that you're in there, you're actually making money at.
That's right.
But you recognize that that actually gives a service, and all of a sudden you can look at it differently than...
I think so, and ultimately, you know, that question can serve this broader, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? What's my life purpose? But it can also boil down to, I'm typing on the computer, and my son comes up and grabs my arm and says, Dad, let's play with the blocks. And it's like, wow, that is really how life is calling me to serve right now, to take a break. You know, I can pick this project back up in an hour, but just 10, 15, you know, a half hour with my son would make a big difference in his life.
Mm.
And so at that moment, I'm being called by my child to serve, to you know, help him out right now. And then, you know, we're being called in various ways during the day to serve, and then also stepping back and looking at, you know, what's my life purpose? How am I being called to serve as far as, you know, how I contribute, you know, a significant amount of my life energy while I'm here on this planet?
You know, that story about taking an hour off to play with the kids, reminds me of when we were little, my brothers and sister and I, our parents used to have guests all the time. And one time their guests brought a guest, and just one random time. And while everybody was at the table talking, this guest noticed that we wanted to play, and our parents wouldn't let us play unsupervised. So she came and not only supervised us, but played with us.
Huh.
It couldn't have been even been an hour, but we never forgot her. We never saw her again, but we never forgot her.
Uh-huh.
And we recently saw her at a funeral,
uh-huh,
what, 40-something years later. I'm not that old, but but you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And we went up to her and hugged her and remembered her and just showed her love, and for that hour.
Yes. Life was calling her to serve, then.
She was
aware of that and was able to contribute in that way. And I think those moments happen throughout the day. But if we're in this mode of, God, you know, life should be more for me, or, you know, why isn't this person, you know, giving me more, loving me more, you know, instead of being in that space which closes you off and shuts you down to the beauty that's around you, these opportunities around you, if you're not, you know, if you're in that space, just look around and say, how can I serve in this moment? How can I give of myself?
Mm.
And in doing that, it's not a habit at first. You might get back into that old habit of complaining about life, but if you can give some energy into making that a habit, that is a key to happiness, is giving, serving, you know, being available for these many opportunities in our life. We can contribute just a little bit like that, but it makes a big difference
in the
lives of other people. You know?
Well, you're making a big difference in the lives of other people, and you're coming on the show. It helps in so many ways. And we're really happy that you're here.
Yes.
And that you're sharing this information with us. And you shared that beautiful song. Is there anything that you would like to share before we close that we haven't touched on?
Wow. know, the word that comes to me right now, just very loudly in my mind, is love.
Oh, I was about to say, is it love? I should have said it. No one's going to believe me now. Is it love?
Uh-huh. You know, and ultimately, we were talking earlier, it's being in a space where you can allow that love that is within, you know, there's a deep wellspring of love within us. And, you know, again, it's so easy to be caught up in all the distractions of life, and life is really distracting nowadays, in my opinion. And in being caught up in that distraction, we're not really tuning in to this really inner wellspring of love. And so whatever you need to do, go for a walk in nature, play with your kids, learn meditation, yoga, whatever practice would allow you to slow down and be available for this deep wellspring of love that's within. And begin harnessing that for, you know, not only for your own well-being, but also for the well-being of those around you. Because that is your potential as a human being to love at really a great potential, a great capacity. And often we're not available for that because we're so caught up in the distractions and really living a small life, you could say, of being caught up in these, you know, these complaining all the time, not even being aware that there's so much to be grateful for.
You know, you touched on so much here, and I was just going to leave it at that, but I can't, because I'm thinking, you know, what about the people who don't have kids? What about the people? But there are so many kids out there who need people to show them love. So you don't have to show love to your kids. Show love to somebody else's kids or to nobody's kids, kids that are out there really that have no one. Show love to somebody's grandmother, somebody else's grandfather, somebody else's father if your father is no longer here, if you don't have a relationship with them.
Yes.
Or just, there's so many ways. I mean, I have uncles and aunts and children and mothers and fathers coming out of my ears. I mean, literally, it's something we'll talk about someday on the show, but literally people adopt me and they say, I'm your grandmother from whatever. I'm your parents from Seattle. This couple came up and said, we were your parents from Seattle. I am so blessed that way.
Yeah.
And we all can be.
Yes.
There are so many of us.
Yes. And you can expand that by looking at ways to give. Like you're saying, by being available, there's all these opportunities to make those deeper connections. And it's in those connections that love, we tap into that love within. It's in a hug, it's released. In a moment of being calm and having a deep, you know, a loving, connected conversation that love is tapped into.
Well, let's share a hug right now.
Thank you so much. I feel it. It's flowing right now.
This has been so great. Thank you for being with us and sharing all that you've shared. We've been talking to Greg Larson, who is so much an author, a singer, a songwriter, a spiritual life coach, and you can learn more about him at any of his websites, but give us the main two.
Yeah, happyishumanlypossible.com and livingwithtole.com.
And you can also hear him on his podcast on iTunes, and that's Living with Tole. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're so welcome.
We'll have to do this again sometime. And now we have Dorothy Donahue with How to Be the Change, although we've been touching on that this evening, how to be the change you'd like to see in the world, starting with yourself, I guess.
Always. Besides Gandhi's quote, we must become the change we wish to see in the world. The other words that are being used over and over again are these. We are all one. As I was thinking about this, I stumbled across a brilliant article. What does it mean, we are all one? By George E. Lockett. And I'm going to share with you what this brilliant man had to say. Can you think of all the ways we're connected to everything around us? We're connected by the air we breathe. We're connected by the light radiating from what we are looking at. We're connected by the sounds we hear, which also flow and touch everything around us. How could we possibly think that we're separate when we absorb and are permeated by the group consciousness of the housing estate we live on? We're connected astrologically to the stars and the planets, and these have an influence on our life. When we go to war with another nation, we are only hurting ourselves. We are all one. When we exploit the environment and the people of the developing world, we are exploiting ourselves. We are all one. Let's choose to make life up differently and move from exploitation to support and love for our fellow human beings. There is a major shift taking place on our planet. Consciousness is becoming integrated and refined on so many levels with our human body. The sequence of cause and effect is becoming shorter and much more visible to us, and it's becoming so much easier for us to make life-supporting choices. It's as if we had a big light shining on our life and illuminating it for us to see clearly. Our inner voice, our inner knowing, now knows the most beneficial thing to do in each moment. All we need to do is heed the signals we are getting, to listen to our feeling, our intuition, and our dreams, to open our heart energy to its source and feel the divine love flowing through us. Become aware of the more subtle layers of your being. As you become conscious of them, you start to use their powers. Humans are now thinking on the level of their light bodies and thinking at light speed. Human consciousness is now using its sixth sense every day to receive messages telepathically. As consciousness refines even further, beyond the level of light, we are learning to think within the void itself, that vacuum which extends out to the whole universe and beyond into the omniverse. We are one with everything. Our body is coming into a natural balance as the whole universe comes to a point, our soul, and flows outward as the hologram of light, flowing out of the void and solidifying into the interference pattern of light that we are. The light waves slowing down and solidifying as the fine particles merge to form our atoms. These then merging to form the molecules. These clustering and slowing down as they form our cells, and finally all coming together to form the human body. We are a hologram of the whole. So how could we possibly feel we are separate with all of the above mentioned layers of our body coexisting one inside the other? As theologians put it, we are a threefold being, God the Father, the whole omniverse, God the Son, our human body as a reflection of the whole, God, the Holy Spirit, the electromagnetic field of energy which permeates our physical body and forms our consciousness. This field of energy extends out from our body, forming the aura, and is the energy blueprint which the body grows into. Human consciousness is no longer fixed within the body. Many people are now experiencing consciousness in other dimensions. We are able to go astral traveling, do remote viewing, and travel through our core nature to any part of the universe just by choosing to move our awareness there. In reality, there is no need to travel anywhere. You are there already on one level or another. Time and space are becoming less important in our life. Our spirits are gaining the knowledge of their immortality. It seems less important to come to Earth for 100 spins around the sun. We are already free to take our spirit, our conscious awareness, out of the body and go off exploring the universe. What is all the fuss about aliens and what they might do to us when they are all part of ourself? If we can take our conscious awareness to their world, do you not think they can do the same with ours? There is no need to travel. One can just do remote viewing. There is no energy crisis, as energy cannot be created or destroyed. It is eternal, like you. Let's love each other, help each other, and share the world's resources with the whole of ourselves. Let's find a new way to make up life on this planet from the perspective of wholeness. We are all one. To read more of this brilliant man's great work, go to HealerGeorge.com. And until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. And you are the only one who can end your suffering. And you can do this by beginning a love affair with yourself. So choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices and never forget that you are powerful beyond imagination and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee Donahue. That was beautiful. And that is our show, and what a beautiful show at that. I want to thank again Mr. Greg Larson for being on with us. And remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us on our website and our Facebook pages and on YouTube and on Twitter. You can learn all about that at lifechanges.ws. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Ways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment producers and hosts, Dorothy Lee and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show, part of this world, and part of the change we all wish to see in this world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.